What is the biggest obstacle standing in the way of dads committing to sobriety today? And I don't mean like in today's day and age. I mean like right now, today. Why won't you commit to getting sober today? That's what I want to unpack. I'll tell you what it is. It's fear. Also, one of the biggest causes of stigma around dads reaching out for help to get their lives back on track and become better fathers. And that's right, friends. I want to break it. But before we do that, we need to understand what those fears are. What are the six biggest fears of getting sober? I'm going to break those down one by one. Let's grab them up. Has life gotten off track? Are you looking for some inspiration to be a better dad? People say all the time, I'd die for my kids. Okay, but would you live for them? Actually live? Get yourself healthy? Make better choices? Eliminate distractions? Would you lead them more intentionally? Would you get sober? Take better care of yourself, physically and mentally. You'd only have to die once. Your kids don't need you to die for them. They need you to live. Have you thought about getting sober, but you just didn't know where to start? If so, welcome to the Domestic Dad Podcast, your go-to destination for candid discussions on journeys into sobriety, parenting, and personal growth. I'm Nick Barnett, founder of the Domestic Dad Project. I've been a dad since I was 18 years old. I'm also a trauma survivor, an alcoholic, divorced, happily remarried, hardworking, humbled by life, domestic dad. On this podcast, you'll find interviews with people who have walked that path, including myself. Coaches, mentors, and pastors who can help guide you on your journey. You're going to need resources and inspiration. You can find that here. This is the community for you to lean into so you can start living life as a domestic dad. So let's grab a mop and start cleaning up the mess. Number one, the fear of loneliness. Let's just call it what it is. The fear of missing out. Or FOMO, anxiety about losing connections or feeling isolated from friends or social circles where drinking may be prevalent. That's a big one for us guys, because community is important. It is the foundation in which we build our lives on. No one wants to lose that. Most of my friend groups drink, and that's totally normal. I think it's normal to get together and have drinks. So for me, the fear that I had when I decided to stop drinking was that I'd become abnormal, weird, or the awkward one. That I'd lose all those connections, all that community. But let me just tell you that I was a lot less weird and a lot less awkward by not drinking than I would be when I did drink. Oh, this brings something else to mind. When you stop drinking, what about your wife? What about your brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts and uncles, family members at holiday events or summertime, 4th of July, Memorial Day, things like that, where you all get together and barbecue and everybody has drinks. The actual interior of your family drinks together. I was very fortunate that I had a wife who was so committed to me living a better and healthier life that she quit drinking at the same time. Not everybody has that. And there's a real worry around that, because several times before I had attempted to quit drinking, but I didn't have that immediate support. And I cannot tell you how important it was to have that. Not to go back to building a sober community, but that's why it's so important to lay a foundation and have an accountability partner so that you can say, hey, I'm triggered in this moment. It's because of this fear that's eventually going to rise up. I was worried about feeling isolated, left out, or all alone. And I think that's a common fear. I like to go out and play golf with the guys, but if I quit drinking, will they still invite me? As a 41-year-old man, other than the last 2 years of sobriety, the last time I played golf without having a drink is exactly never. Seriously, everything that we do revolves around having drinks with friends. Am I right? The majority of my friend group gets together and has drinks. So that was a real fear. You think about where you fit in without alcohol involved in your life. Alcohol is your best friend, but it's your most toxic relationship. And I'll be honest, living a life without alcohol in it in the beginning, it does not seem achievable. Spoiler alert, it very much is. And life gets way better. Just know this, the people who love you, the people who are your real friends, they're still going to be around. You're still going to get invited over for dinner on Sundays. You're still going to have people in your life. And here's another thing. You're going to get more people in your life because I don't know how to say this without being derogatory about who we are in our alcoholism. You're not as enjoyable as what you could be without the buzz. Take it from me. I'm a guy who's got a pretty close-knit group of friends, and most of them drink. But do you think that all my boys decided to just delete me from the group chats after I quit drinking? That did not happen. So let go of that FOMO, because you're going to have the capacity to be a better friend without that really toxic part of yourself being your addiction, dragging you down. Number two, the fear of failure. Apprehension about not being able to successfully achieve and maintain sobriety, it leads to feelings of inadequacy or disappointment. That was a really big one for me as I was admitting that I was an alcoholic, admitting that I had a problem, admitting that I needed to do the work on myself. That shit is heavy because, like it or not, you've never gotten sober and stayed sober before. In the journey of recovery, there's a stage called relapse. It's normal to be afraid of that. For you to sit there and say, I am going to work on myself for a little while. Being afraid that's not going to work out for a long time, you just have to let it go. There are some things in this life that you cannot control. But admitting that you have some work to do on yourself and alcohol is stopping you from doing it, that's taking more control of the situation than ever before. The fear of failing is what stopped me from admitting that I had a problem for, I'd like to say that it was months, but it was literally years. When you think about stopping drinking completely and removing that relationship with alcohol from your life completely, oh my gosh, can you imagine going on vacation to an all-inclusive resort and not drinking the alcohol that you paid for in advance? How about going to the river? Out on the boat, going camping, going fishing, all of that stuff. I don't know what to tell you except that it's totally possible and it's really a lot more enjoyable. Number three, the fear of losing your coping mechanisms. Such a double-edged sword, or a catch-22, if you will. That's like, oh, I'm so frustrated that things didn't go my way. I'm going to drink about it. But the real reason that things didn't go your way was because you drank about it. Is there a world that exists where you get stressed out because of the kids, your wife, your work, and you don't come home and have a drink about it? For me, the fear of losing this coping mechanism was like I relied on alcohol to deal with a serious amount of stress and anxiety for many years. I feared the idea of sobriety because I worried about how I would manage the emotions without alcohol. I developed a habit of reaching out for a drink whenever I felt stressed, overwhelmed, or upset. And the thought of facing any of those emotions without that crutch was absolutely terrifying. As a result, I resisted seeking help for literal years, because of the fear that I wouldn't be able to cope with my life's challenges. This fear was a significant barrier to my recovery and prevented me from seeking the support and treatment that I needed to get where I'm at today. What you'll find in the process of getting through this fear is that you'll develop healthier coping mechanisms rather than drinking or using. There's so much opportunity for personal growth right there. Setting short-term and long-term goals and being able to achieve them that is life-changing. The stimulation that you get from that is better than any buzz you've ever had. I promise. For me, that was absurd to think about, but you actually can. Number four, the fear of facing emotions. Ooh. Apprehension about confronting and managing difficult emotions like trauma, pain, or stress without the numbing effects of booze. That's what kept me in the pit for such a long time. There were things that happened in my life dating back to childhood that were traumatic. But then there were a ton of things that happened in my life that were traumatic because of my alcohol addiction. So, as someone who has endured a traumatic event in childhood, rather than addressing and processing my emotions in a healthy way, I resorted to drugs and alcohol to temporarily escape from the pain and distress that I felt. And over time, that pattern of avoidance, it became deeply ingrained, and I developed a fear of facing emotions without the aid of alcohol. So when I started the pre-contemplation or preparation stages of change, I'd experience these intense, anxious, or apprehensive feelings about confronting any underlying emotions that I had been suppressing for such a long time, because my fear overwhelmed my feelings of grief, anger, shame, and worry that I lacked the necessary coping skills to manage all of that crap without resorting back to drinking about it. Number five, the fear of withdrawal symptoms. It does not become a major fear until you're in full-blown addiction. And I'm talking like, in order to be normal every day, you have to use. And by have to, I mean, dude, you're getting sick if you don't drink or if you don't use. And by sick, I mean you're agitated, jittery. You're going to start throwing up. You're going to shake. You're down and out for at least 48 hours. And I'm not talking like going down like, oh, I've got a hangover for the first few hours of the day. I can't wait to get home and go to sleep. I'm talking, you're calling in sick to work. Like, you don't have normal functionality for 2 to 3 days. I want to be careful with this one. Actually, no, I don't. I want to scare the shit out of you, because if you get to this point, it becomes infinitely harder to quit. So if you're not here yet, stop now. Just be done with it. Because once you get to this point, shit has officially hit the fan. There is a definitive line in addiction where you cross it, and if you start to get sober, your body starts to get pissed at you. And what I had experienced when I started to try to get sober was withdrawal. I encountered symptoms like tremors, sweating, nausea, anxiety, insomnia, nightmares, and in the end, extreme night sweats. Like, I'd wake up soaking wet in the middle of the night, wondering if I had gone to the bathroom in my sleep. The withdrawal symptoms were unbearable. Thoughts like, oh, one shot will cure all my problems, started to enter my head. By the second, all I need is just one drink to alleviate all this discomfort. The fear of experiencing these symptoms again can be a significant deterrent. Here's the thing. You can die from alcohol detox. So this fear will, in fact, perpetuate the cycle of addiction. I'd continue drinking to avoid withdrawal rather than addressing the underlying issues, driving me to be even more dependent on alcohol. It just highlights the importance of medical supervision and support during the detox process to help manage withdrawal symptoms safely and effectively. last but not least, number six, the fear of social stigma. And this one exists outside of the first one that I talked about, outside of friends and family. The worry about judgment or social isolation in the workplace, on social media, or heck, running into a stranger at some point, getting down the road in conversation, or building a relationship and eventually having to tell that person, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm an addict. What will people think of me? For instance, I have a good job. I wouldn't say it's a high profile job, but it's a job. People depend on me. I have responsibilities. I manage money. I make decisions based on data that I have to synthesize with my brain. I'd been struggling with alcohol addiction, and despite recognizing the need for treatment, that fear of social isolation or social stigma, the potential consequences for disclosing that information, such as damage to my reputation, loss of credibility, getting fired, being labeled as an alcoholic or an addict, really prevented me from reaching out to get the support that I knew in my heart that I needed. Simply because once you cross that bridge, you can't go back. And if you mess up, if you make a mistake, if you call in sick, there's always that fear or stigma that sits in you. Like, are they going to think that this is because of a relapse? There was a serious hesitation there for, I wouldn't even say a long time, but for forever because of this. This fear of social stigma created significant barriers for me to accessing treatment and support services, leading me to suffer in silence and endure all the harmful effects of addiction without seeking help. Breaking through this stigma requires education, advocacy, and community support to foster understanding, compassion, acceptance of addiction as a treatable medical condition rather than a moral failing or character flaw. Accepting this fear and embracing it will allow you to let go of the toxic relationship that you've had with alcohol that stifled you for years. You'll tolerate less and be driven to continuously achieve goals and not get caught up in a victim mentality, being stagnant, accepting less from others, and more importantly, accepting less from yourself. It will also allow you to have the voice in your head that tells you to push the envelope a little bit further. Be more thorough in your process. Do one more rep. Get a little bit more done today. Before I wrap this up, I want to circle back to moral failing and character flaw real quick. People always ask me, what was your breaking point? Because there's this morbid curiosity around what happened. How did it get so bad? What was it? I thought, if I don't make this change, I'm going to die. I'll lose the respect from my peers, the admiration from my family, and the love of my life. Someone once asked me, if you found out you had a terminal illness and that there was a cure and you could take it, would you? I'm not trying to minimize a cancer diagnosis here, but let's just use that for example. If somebody told you, look, you have cancer, and if you want to live past the next 3 months, you have to undergo chemotherapy right now. You got to start today. If you don't, you're going to die. But when you start taking chemotherapy, there's going to be things that happen to you, and you're going to have to tell other people that you're taking it. Right? Would you do that? The answer is absolutely yes. Nobody is going to accept the fact that they've only got 3 months left to live, but they could make a decision today to change that outcome and live a full fulfilling life. Flip the script on that just a little bit. Let's tweak that. If somebody told you today that you're an alcoholic and that you have a very high probability that within the next few months, you'd make a decision that would kill you or that your body was going to fail you. And the only way for you to change that diagnosis was to quit drinking or using whatever it was today, as in right now, you have to stop today. And if you do that, you'll live a full, fulfilling life that's filled with love, respect from your peers, admiration from your children. Would you do that? You'd have to tell everybody that you're an alcoholic or that you're an addict, but would you do it? Is that worth it to you? A fulfilling life full of respect and love and admiration from your friends and family? I don't know about you, but for me, the answer is absolutely yes. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, I want to thank you with all my heart. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps us out. If you have questions about getting sober, parenting, or personal growth, email nick@domesticdadproject.com with any questions about cleaning up the messes you've made. And if your question is discussion worthy, we'll feature it in an upcoming episode. Don't forget, you can watch any of these videos uncut and unedited, filmed in my studio from our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search for Domestic Dad Project. Also, please follow us on Facebook or share this episode on your social media. You can also join our community by grabbing some merch. It means the world to me to know that this podcast is making a difference in someone's life. And if this episode inspired you to get sober or simply become a better version of yourself, you can claim your free 60-minute coaching session by visiting www.domesticdadproject.com. Let's continue supporting each other to break the stigma around dads reaching out for help, to get our lives on track while navigating the obstacles of fatherhood. Until next time, keep cleaning up the mess.